The second scripture reading is from Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. You can find it in the Pew Bibles on page 1093. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Amen. May God add blessing to his reading.
Thank you, Jen. We continue on in the book of Acts, chapter 14. We're making progress. When you climb a ladder, there's resistance, isn't there? You go up a ladder, and the further you go up, the harder it gets, the more tired you get, and that sort of thing. I remember just a few weeks ago, and as you well know now anyway, my knee is not what it should be, and we were over on Mackinac Island with a family, and so my wife and I had a tandem bike, and we're going around the island with everybody else on bikes, and every time I went up on the thing, I went, ow, and I went down and up, ow, and went down and up, and ow, you know, that sort of thing. But, you know, the more I went, the better it felt a little bit, and then we thought, oh, gee, why don't we walk up that stairs to the arch? Yeah, I'll do it. Everybody else is doing it. There was resistance in a bunch of different ways with me. Resistance from my knee. There was resistance from the upward stairs that kept going and going and going. But I knew when I got to the top, I wanted to see what was up there, a beautiful view, and the arch there, and everybody up there looking like they had lung problems. I wasn't the only one. But there's resistance going up those stairs, isn't there? Resistance. You paddle a boat upstream and there's resistance, isn't there? It's hard to paddle upstream. It's easy on the other hand. The other day I was actually at a gorge and saw some people coming down the gorge in those big rafts. And they didn't meet a whole lot of resistance with the raft. They were heading down, although they met some resistance when they hit the rapids and it would fly up over their boat. There's resistance when you turn the wheel of a car or turn the wheel of an old tractor. I've got an old Oliver 550. It means a lot to me because that was the first tractor I drove on the farm. It was a 550. I've got a 1963, I think it is, Oliver 550. It says it has power steering. Not the kind of power steering you have in the new tractors or in your cars. It takes work, especially if you have a load on the bucket in the front. And even though it says you've got power steering, I think what it means is it takes power to steer it. Resistance. Anytime you and I exert energy, there's resistance, isn't there? I think in life there's resistance too, isn't there? You can't please everybody. Sometimes we try, but in trying to please everybody, you don't please anybody. So many times, there always seems to be resistance. Even as we see in the scriptures here this morning, when the good news of Jesus Christ is shared, there was resistance. Why would anyone resist something that is good by its very nature? Think about it. Why would anyone resist something that is so good by its very nature? And there are probably some reasons why people resist. I'll just name a few here. Maybe they don't see it's good for them. Maybe they look at it and say it's not good for them because they don't want to mess up what's going on in their life right now, which seems to them maybe to be pretty good. They don't want to mess that up. They're kind of doing okay the way they were, so they don't see it as good for them. Perhaps some of it is we just resist change. It's different. We don't like different. We like the way it is, and I don't want different, so we resist change. Even if it's good, we resist change. Maybe there's another reason here. The good thing may expose what is not good and needs to change. Ouch! We don't like that one, do we? The good thing that's being presented to me might expose what is not good and needs to change. So, we resist that good thing. Maybe we resist the good news because we're misinformed. Or maybe we just don't believe it's good. Or we don't believe it's true. I could go on with several here, couldn't I, of reasons why we might resist something so good. And throughout the New Testament, this message, this gospel message is spoken of as being good news. Everybody should want to hear it. Paul and Barnabas, in the first two verses of this text this morning, they are sharing this good news. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogues. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. There's always a but, isn't there? But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles, poisoned their minds against the brothers. There was resistance to the good news. Many accepted it. Many embraced it. It changed them because they saw they needed changed. But there were some that resisted. Some poisoned others against the Christians. They refused to embrace this good news because it meant admitting that they had a major problem. Ultimately, it meant admitting the problem was sin. None of us want to admit that. You know what is so freeing about the Christian faith is that we come to Him as sinners, and He forgives us of our sin and asks us to live a life that brings honor and glory and praise to Him. And we do sometimes, and sometimes we do not. But our very forgiving God is still there to say, I forgive you when you mess up. You know, it's different. Some people have grown up in a home where I think love was wrongly applied. A home where it was based on your performance. And whenever love is based on your performance, it seems like you're never quite good enough. You never quite meet the mark. It's the wonder of God's love for us. It's not based on our performance at all. It was based on Jesus' performance on the cross, what He did for us. It's freeing to know that He loves me no matter what. And in a good, healthy home, that's what our parents do. They love us no matter what. I don't know how many times throughout our life in parenting that sometimes we pulled out our hair and wondered, oh, Lord, what are we going to do? And, you know, you want to knock some sense into your child. Sometimes they make some stupid decisions, but yet we still love them. Amen. God's better at that than we are. We still love them. This was good news. Even though it meant admitting that my situation prior to hearing this good news is not a good situation. I'm a sinner. And recognizing that I'm a sinner, it calls me to something. The good news basically calls me to accept that good news, which means embracing the one who brought it to us. But here was Paul and Barnabas sharing, and some were accepting and some were not. There was dividing that was going on. Verse 4, the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others sided with the apostles. There was a plot afoot, actually, among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them, and they wanted to kill them. Stone them. You know, stoning someone, you're wanting to kill them. Met with resistance. How did the people know that Paul and Barnabas were sharing the truth? How do we know that someone is sharing the truth with us today? Because we have so much access to so much information. You just Google everything. Or me, my kids always tease me about, I Siri everything. Hey Siri, where am I? Whatever. So you get some information back to you. It might be true, maybe it isn't true. But we have so much opportunity to get so much information, and some of it's good stuff and some of it's not at all. How did the people know that Paul and Barnabas were sharing the truth? It says in verse 3 that they spoke the word boldly. And it says they boldly spoke not for themselves, they spoke for the Lord. There's a key there. They spoke for the Lord, not for themselves in verse 3. And God confirmed the message of his grace through what? Through miracles and wonders. He was confirming the message that they were sharing through miracles and wonders. And I believe God does miracles and wonders today. Perhaps, maybe not as concentrated as needed back then. And let me explain myself here. Because you see, what we have today is something they didn't have back then. We have his word. We have the Old and the New Testament right there in front of us. We have his word. He speaks to us through his word. Yes, he speaks to us through miracles too. The God of miracles does miracles today just like he did back then. I won't deny that for a moment. But I think primarily how he does it is through his word, the scriptures. He confirms the truth through the scriptures. So when you and I speak good news, when we speak truth, really, it ought to be confirmed through the scriptures so that people know that we're speaking the truth and not our opinion. We're speaking God's word, not our word. We're speaking boldly for the Lord. So if we're speaking for the Lord, we're speaking what his word says, not something contrary to his word. If I say, well, I know what the word says, but would you slap me? Seriously. In Christian love, but slap me. Sure. And likewise you. I know what the word of the Lord says, but it's not something we ought to say. It's I know what the word of the Lord says, and so I need to abide by it. Even if sometimes I'm struggling with it, I struggle with some of God's word, but it's God's word. So if it's God's word, I got to struggle with that truth, and at the end I need to come to that point where I recognize it is God's word and God's truth. So God confirms the truth through his word. He also confirms that truth through miracles and wonders. Why we have to be careful of that sometimes is even the enemy himself tries to confuse us with miracles and wonders too, doesn't he? Remember when Moses was trying to do what he was doing with Pharaoh? And early on, anyway, all of Pharaoh's magicians and stuff were able to kind of copycat what he was doing. But God says, you got nothing on me, right? You got nothing on me. But be careful. And Jesus told the people who he would gather with and heal and do all these miraculous things, he says, don't always look for the miracle. Look for me. Look for God. Miracles come too. They do. So the truth has an enemy. Some sided with the Jews in verse 4, and some sided with the apostles. Some sided with the father of lies, the devil. You know, he is the father of lies. He is an expert at that, and he will disguise that in ways that are hard to decipher sometimes unless we know where the truth is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says he disguises as an angel of light. Looks right, but it isn't right. Or it says false prophets, and by extension you could say the devil, in Matthew 7:15, like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Sheep look rather innocent, but a wolf in sheep's clothing is not. And that's how the devil disguises, how false prophets would disguise as well. He's the father of lies, and recognize that. Don't take everything you hear and just assume it's true. Look into God's word to make sure that what you're hearing is indeed true. I had a dear friend of mine many, many years ago when we were in Norway, came to me, and he was, he claimed a faith in Christ, and I believe he was a believer. There's no doubt in my mind he was a believer. He was kind of young in the faith, but he had some things he believed that were not biblical. And one of the things he thought of was, you know, if I come back as something else, he had a little reincarnation thrown in there. He said, hold on. The Bible says, it is appointed for us to die once, and then after that face judgment. Now, when he knew that, as a believer, he said, oh, I guess I've been fed a line here. It's not true. You see what I'm saying about God's truth? What the Bible says, and I have to understand that the Bible says it, and so I need to believe what the Bible says, even if I might struggle with it. Sometimes you and I even are the enemy of truth. We want to do our own thing. We want to follow our own opinion rather than the Word of God. We want to be right, and so we'll argue with someone, even if they're sharing with us the truth, because I don't like to be wrong. You feel that way sometimes? I used to be more that way. Mike and I talked about that before, too. Used to be more that way. I just want to be right. So I'm just going to argue with you, and I'm going to argue with you until I win. But sometimes I've realized I'm wrong. And I need to lose in order to win. Sometimes you and I can be the enemy of truth. When we have sin in our own life, and so we justify, we're good at that as human beings, aren't we? We are really good at justifying whatever we're doing. And when someone confronts us with it, we're still good at justifying what we do. The truth has an enemy. Sin is ultimately that enemy. The devil is that enemy. We have to recognize that. Sometimes we're the problem. And to what extent will the enemy go? You know what it says in John 10:10? Part of the verse has something really good to say. Part of it says, the devil seeks to kill and destroy. But it says, but I have come to give you life in abundance. That's what the devil wants to do. He seeks to kill and destroy. Sin kills and destroys. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Those enemies here of Paul and Barnabas, when they heard the good news was being shared, they were trying to tarnish their name. They were lying and cheating and stealing, and they wanted to stone him and stone them. That's to what extent the enemy will go. But God always provides a way through. God always provides a way sometimes out. Not sometimes, not always out, but always through. He always provides a way through. Sometimes he provides a way out. What did he do with them? Go. Flee this place right now. Go someplace else. Because you know what? You're going to share the good news there too. And that's what they did. Folks, I just want you to know that the good news always has an enemy. And you and I, when we're trying to do what God wants us to do, and we want to share the good news with other people, sometimes the devil's right there to either mess it up in our own life and say, you know what? I'm going to tempt you with sin. So he tempts us with sin, and we commit sin, and then someone sees that sin in us, and then we think, it's ruined, it's over, it's gone. You know, the wonderful thing about this is, when you and I blow it, we have a forgiving God. You know what can be a great witness? Sir, I blew it. Forgive me, because God forgave. And I want to live for him. I don't want to live for myself. And what I was doing there was living for myself. You see how God can take something the enemy throws at us and turns it right around and says, I'm going to use it for good. So folks, when you feel like you're inadequate, you feel like you're a sinner that can't have much of a witness to other people, you need to tell these other people that God has forgiven me of my sin and I'm trying to live for him. Sometimes I'm doing a pretty good job and sometimes I stink. But God still forgives. and forgets, doesn't he?
That's right.
So the good news always has an enemy. But guess who's stronger? He who is in you is stronger than he who is in the world. Right?
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for Paul and Barnabas and others in your word who continue to share the good news of Jesus Christ even when they were met with the threat of death, and many of them faced death. Help us, Lord, as we live our lives to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Even as imperfect as we are, as blemished as we are, as often as we fail, we can even use that to share the good news. Because the good news is God loves me and forgives me and helps me to move on from all the crappy stuff that I do. And he's making me new, and he's making me more like him. God, I pray that you'd help us to recognize that. Every person here, God wants to use to share the good news of his son. And ultimately, of him, God the Father, through his Holy Spirit that lives within us. Thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.